Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello there and welcome to another episode of Four Times in a Podcast. You join us on Friday the 2nd of June, 7:05 at night, and we've finally got together to give you a Scottish Cup final preview. We were planning on doing it early in the week, but as I'm sure you're aware, there's been a lot of speculation surrounding the manager, so I think we sort of held off hoping that something would come out sort of concrete either way. Unfortunately, at this point, that's not the case, so we're just going to do a wee quick episode to try and get you in the mood for the Scottish Cup final tomorrow, although I'm sure Celtic gone for the fifth treble in 7 years, so you don't really need putting them out. I'm here today with Andy and Danny. Tony is somewhere trying to get to Hampden, I'm sure he might join us. We'll need to wait and see, but Andy, we'll get right into it. It's another massive game for Celtic, as I say, it's unprecedented. We had the quadruple treble, and I think after COVID season, when everything went wrong, everybody sort of thought it might be a wee while before we went for an R treble, but credit to the job that Ange and his team have done. We're in the position where we're going for a fifth treble in 7 years, as I say. It's quite an unbelievable occasion. We're up against lower league opposition in the form of Inverness, who didn't even make the playoffs in the Championship this season, and they've already been knocked out of the Scottish Cup once this year as well, and get back in on the technicality of Queen's Park playing an eligible player. So how are you feeling about tomorrow? I know you're a bit touch and go about a ticket for a while, but you're sorted now, so you must be looking forward to Hampden and this glorious sunshine we've had this week.
Aye, looking forward to it. Like you say, there's been a lot of speculation and everything that's going on with the manager, but I think it's realistically we're all sort of putting that just to the side now, which I'm sure obviously the team and the manager are doing themselves. Like regardless of what happens, it's just really all about what happens at when that ball's kicked off at 5:30. I'm massively looking forward to it. As you say, it's an unprecedented treble again that we're going for. You would never believe that if you went back, say, to 10 years or so and said that we would really be just completely dominating in every way. I mean, even if you went back just before Ange came in, look, the sort of state that we were in, the way Lennon had left us, the state the team was in, to be honest, we needed gutted. We were all, me included, saying that whoever comes in is probably going to need a year to sort of rebuild, clear it out, get his own personnel in. It turns out he didn't. Turns out he went and won the league right away and done a double. And now you look here another year later, and how do you improve on that? And he's right on the verge of doing it. And how do you improve on a double? It's going and winning a treble. And as I say, we're right there. And I think the performance at the weekend against Aberdeen is just massive confidence. I'd been banging the drum for a couple of weeks since the Rangers game about I wanted us to turn it on again before the cup final, and it wasn't out of fear for Inverness or things, but I think in 1.5 games it was just I would rather know that we'd come off a good vein of form or a good game and confidence was high So getting that five, let's be honest, it was five. If we came off that park at 10-0, nobody would have backed an eyelid. Ran right at the top of them. So massive, massive amounts of confidence throughout the team. People scoring off the bench and things like that, which is great. You know what it's like. We've been here with Inverness before. Look, one bad decision can have a massive impact in the game. Hopefully that's not what happens. But I've got the utmost confidence in the team, the manager and everything else to be solely focused on it. And it's been said, block out the noise. Look, we will, I dare say, when we after this game and we come back to sort of talk about the season and the highs, the lows, the success and everything else, we will obviously talk about the manager and what we think is going to happen. But I don't really want to spend too much at any time sort of going on about it. But aye, low level opposition, like you say, they're fortunate to have stayed in the competition, but they kept going. I think they've put out two Premier League teams, if I'm not mistaken. I need to double check, to be honest with you. But aye, let's be honest, it's probably the biggest game that a lot of players in their team are playing in their entire lives. Teams are known anyway for raising their game when they come up against Celtic, let alone in a cup final. So they'll be up for it. They'll try and make it tough for us. But aye, as I say, I've got the utmost confidence in the team. The way we played against Aberdeen, it's just a great way for the game before a cup final to be playing. Confidence is flying as a double, and we're on our way to make it a treble, and I've got the utmost confidence that we will.
I definitely, as you say, we spoke last week about getting that bit of form back in after the couple of disappointing games against like this at Mirren and Hibs, and obviously the defeat at Ibrox as well after we won the league. It was really good to see us back to form last week. I thought it was an almost perfect performance. We looked more like ourselves, and the starting lineup was much more like you'd expect as well. And like both our strikers get two goals, and we also scored a great header from a set piece as well through Carol Starfelt. So I thought it was a really good end to this league season, and we obviously got to celebrate winning that league and finally seeing the team lift the trophy that it deserved. But a bit unlike last season's trophy day at Parkhead, it wasn't the end of the season. Like obviously last year we had that disappointment in the semi-final, and now we are going to that Scottish Cup final, Danny, and it's, as I said, it's a chance for Celtic to get a fifth treble in 7 years, and it's Ange's chance to get his fifth trophy out of six available to him domestically. It's quite an incredible turnaround from where we were about just like almost exactly 2 years ago when Ange was announced. How are you feeling about tomorrow? I know it looks pretty simple on paper, but if any Celtic fan, I'm sure, has some sort of worry when you hear about that we've got Inverness in the cup, because they have came up against us and shocked us a few times in the cup, going all the way back to the early 2000s, all the way to even a few years ago when they beat us in League Cup semi-finals and Scottish Cup semi-finals.
Aye, they're a bit of a bogey team for us. I know we beat them a few times in Scottish Cup as well, but they are a bit of a bogey team for us. But no, I'm excited for them all. The pressure is on Celtic, you know, playing for a treble. Obviously, the team for the higher division, Inverness have not played in a month, so they might be quite rusty. But the team will also play with a bit of freedom, like they always play with, so I'm not really that worried. Obviously, the more when the game kicks off, you just want an early goal to settle you, and we are playing for history. But I think it was, one of yous or Tony tweeted this morning for the podcast saying we had three trebles between 1888 and 2016, and tomorrow we're going for the world record number 8, which is just fucking mental. So it shows about the kind of level of dominance that a few different Celtic managers have enjoyed in the last couple of years, and it's going to be a good game. You know, half-five kickoff, everybody's got enough time to get tanked up before the game. I'm sure. I mean, we've got about 90% of the stadium tomorrow. It's just got to be electric. It'll be phenomenal. And I wish it was going. Unfortunately, I've got a prior engagement tomorrow night, so I can't make it. But I think it'll be one of the great nights in Celtic's history. And there's a few there that really deserve to, like players like Callum McGregor. You know, they all deserve to be part of course. But I'll be thinking that McGregor getting hopefully lift the Scottish Cup as captain and complete a treble as captain, because nobody really deserves it more than him.
No, I, as you say, it would be a speak about Ange and the team, but especially somebody like Cal McGregor, who's been at Celtic for so long, I'm sure it would mean the absolute world to him to lift his own treble as Celtic captain. It would be quite an achievement. You've got a lot of guys like Sir James Forrest as well, who's get so many medals since of being at Celtic, and they'll be looking to add to that. You've got the winners in the team, and you've also got new players in the team who it just shows how well they've taken theirs. Andy, there's a few injury worries last week when Kyogo and Alistair Johnston went off injured, and I think Alistair Johnston seems to have trained all right all week, but Kyogo's a bit of a doubt. Is it similar to like last season's League Cup final where you get him in there and get the game won if he is a, like, obviously it's his last game for a few months, so it does give you that sort of leeway with it in terms of this would be his last game of the season, or would you be confident enough if he didn't make it tomorrow, at least from the starting lineup after, as I said last week, he'll get two off the bench, he'll be full of confidence as well.
It's a difficult one. Like you say, Kyogo, obviously, it depends how bad it is. I actually seen, and I never looked myself, so I don't 100% know, but I seen somebody talking about the training photos that get released. And I don't think either Kyogo wasn't in them, or he didn't look to feature too heavily. So I don't know how bad it was. In terms of Johnston, I think the fact he was out doing media and things like that tells you that he's going to be in the team. But the Kyogo one, I think it just comes down to how, if he's fit enough to be in the squad, and I think if he's in the squad he starts. I've said that before, if he's fit enough to be in the bench and to be in the position where you're going to look at him to save you and look at him to sort of dig you out when you need a goal, then he's fit enough in my opinion to go and start the game and get that goal, and then you can take him off. But I would also say, oh, obviously you get two, you get one against Hibs when he started the game, so I wouldn't have any gripes. Again, if it was him at starting, I think he's certainly he's got a hard time off some people, which I've never really understood. It was similar when Jackie Marcus was here. Some people are just fucking choking to get in tap of somebody and dig them out because he's no Kyogo or somebody else. But I like him. I think there's a lot of qualities to his game, and I think he'll improve. That's not me saying that I think he'll be better than Kyogo or better than anybody else, but I like him. I think he's young. And there's a lot of good parts, good elements to his game. So if it was him at the start, I would have felt most confidence in him. As I say, he's 3 goals in his last 2 games. And 2 of them came off the bench. It's not a bad return so far. I think I've seen somewhere that his return in a less amount of games is better than Jackie Mackenzie's when he sort of first came in. So I think that says a lot about him. But I think if Kyogo's fit enough to be in the squad in any way and on the bench, then in my opinion, he's fit enough to start, and I think he should tap goal scorer in the league this season. His goals speak for himself. I don't need to sit and tell people how important he's been. So I think that will be the case. But as for Johnston, I don't see him out doing media duty if he's not fit enough to start the game. I'd be very, very surprised at that. I think, if anything, it was probably made a precaution against Aberdeen, because obviously he was injured for a couple of games before that. So I think Johnston starts, and I actually do think if I was sticking money on it, I think Kyogo's going to start as well. And then he'll probably get subbed off after he's had a couple of goals.
I think like you say, I think the team's going to pretty much pick itself. I think obviously Kyogo's a doubt. I think Aaron Moyes ruled out as well. Obviously he's been out for a few weeks, but I think even guys like Haksabanovic are back in training as well, so should have plenty of options if needed. But Danny, what does your sort of gut say that we're going to start up front tomorrow? Because I think most people would expect that the possible positions that were in doubt are now sort of sorted, in terms of it looks like it probably will be Tomoki Iwata next to Carol Starfelt in defence, and I think most people would expect Aizen Maeda to come back in to replace Leo Labada in this sort of type of big game that Ange seems to absolutely love playing Maeda in, and obviously he's turned up in a lot of them as well and been massively important this season. How are you expecting this to line up?
Kind of just what you said there, Darren. I think it will be Maeda on the left, Jota on the right, I think he'll play Kyogo. Although I'm with Andy, if he's not fit to play, I'll not be overly worried if Defoe's starting, because I think he's looked really good the last couple of games. I just thought against Tips he was outstanding playing up front there himself. I really, really enjoyed it, his performance. And he took his two goals well last week too. So I think he scored four in the last five games, or three in the last two. So he's obviously starting to get an act for it. But I'd love to see Keogh go fit. You know, it's his goals that have took us this season. I know Jota get the one in the semi, but I'd just love to see Keogh go out there, because we are a better team with him in it. And he might be fit. I know he's been doing a bit of training himself, so maybe he's fit and Andrew's just been keeping away from it all. But he was jumping about daft after the trophy lift and stuff, so he'd like to be fit. But if no, we've got a decent enough replacement to know. And as you said, Awata will probably be at the back. Again, I've got any issues with that. I think he got a bit of stick for his performance against St Mirren, but if you see him next to Johnson against Aberdeen, he was much more composed. And I know Carter Vickers is in Miami, we all know that, but I thought the whole defence looked a lot better with Johnson in it. And even Awata looked more composed. And, you know, we should have 90% of the ball in order. He shouldn't have too many issues. You know, so that's where he comes into his end, when he can take the ball out for defence. And staff was good at it as well. But we'll need that, you know, because against teams in the lower league, you just want to choke them. You just want to hound them when they've finally got a touch of the ball. And when we've got it, you want our whole team basically firing towards their goal. Just keep them under pressure for 90 minutes. And Awata being able to come out of defence with the ball and knock it about will be key for us. I said it earlier, I'd expect Maeda to play. Ange obviously trusts him, he's one of our key players. And Abada got injured last week as well, but I didn't think he showed too much, unfortunately. I think Abada has been really unlucky because he's so effective, but he's not. I don't want to say he's not kicked on this season, because that would be harsh to him, because I think he's been suffering from injuries, but he's not really done too much recently, so probably best if Maeda was just brought back in.
No, I definitely agree with you. I think Abada's still young and he's still had a great return this year as well. But I just think Daisy Maeda is sort of Ange's man on that left-hand side in these sort of games. And as I say, I think he'll go probably start as well. I think even if he's sort of 50-50 or 60-40, I think Ange will at least let him get a go. And if that means he only gets first half, or he gets on and gets a few goals, hopefully, and then you can sort of bring him on and get him more experience in this sort of big showcase game. I think, as you said, Kyogo's been our player of the year. He's been the top goal scorer in the league, top goal scorer in Scotland. Like, I think you're bang on. He just deserves to be there. If he's happy playing, he feels that he can get a go, then who are we to stand in his way? And as I say, I think Tomoki Awata, as you say, like, I'm sure Inverness will look to rough up their centre halves when they do sort of get forward the more, although that could be quite limited, hopefully. But I think Tomoki Awata has looked reasonable enough and didn't really have any issues against Aberdeen last week, so I'd expect him to come in. And then the rest of the defence is sort of as you'd like. Joe Hart is probably just a case of staying full concentrated in terms of the amount of chances Inverness are going to have. Hopefully we can limit them to not very much. And then with like Sir Johnston, Starfield, Taylor, the other defence is pretty solid as it is, and you'd expect us to sort of be more recognised like we were against Aberdeen last week. And I think it's, we'll come with predictions at the end, but I just think it's just got to be a game. I think one year says it, if we get an early goal, it's sort of, I think it's just got to blow Inverness's sort of game plan frustrating us. And that's all we can try and do, and just play our game, and hopefully the goals will come. We will speak the new just very shortly about the manager, just because it's been hard to miss this week, and I think it'd be a bit daft if we didn't speak about it at all. But before we do, I'll just tell you about this week's football prizes competition. The Celtic prize is a one-of-a-kind prize, and it's a cracker this week. We spoke about Callum McGregor, and it's to do with him. It's a Callum McGregor signed and custom framed Celtic shirt, and it actually includes LED lights and an inbuilt TV, of Callum McGregor's Celtic highlights. It's quite something. You'll need to go to footballprizes.co.uk to see this for yourself. Just search in the prizes, you'll see this one. There's only 149 tickets available. They cost £3.95 each, but we can get you a wee discount on that. If you put in the code TIMS10 at checkout, that'll get you 10% off. And this competition ends on Monday night, the 5th of June at 7:30. So make sure you get your tickets before then. Hopefully you're recovered from a big party after the Mora. And you could win this fantastic prize. But Andy, I'll bring you back in. As I say, it's at the top of the show. It's sort of been everywhere. There's been massive links with Ange and Tottenham Hotspur. We've had everybody from Sky Sports News to Fabrizio Romano to sort of your reputable London papers saying that Ange appears to be one of, if not the preferred candidate for Tottenham Hotspur's managerial vacancy. He's refused to be drawn on it. I think last week there was a few questions, but the speculation sort of been a lot more intense this week. He's the clear bookies' favourite as well to take that job. What have you made of it? And sort of Ange's comments, what's your sort of gut feeling about it as well? So I know he'd been linked to likes of Everton and Leeds when they had vacancies, but I think the speculation was sort of nowhere near what it is at the moment. What are you sort of thinking towards it?
It's been ramped right up recently, which isn't too hard to believe given that we've got a big game obviously coming up. So I don't know. I've sort of swayed. We've obviously been talking about it and we've swayed back and forth. And as I said, I don't want to have it consume every thought before a potential treble winning cup final. So I really don't know. Part of me thinks that he won't, and it's just the usual, try to drum up interest and all that. But it does seem as if it's hanging about for too long, and you've had Fabrizio Romano and things came out talking about further talks, which would tell you that there's already been discussions held. I don't know. It's obviously, I think ultimately if they came to him and they sort of gave him whatever he wanted, gave him a mental transfer budget and a silly wage, then you're probably not going to turn it down. I think if we're all open and honest enough that you're not going to, I don't want to, when I say bigger, I don't mean in terms of club, because we're a bigger club than Spurs. I don't think that's up for debate. But you're not going to get a bigger job in England coming for Celtic. I think that you're not going to go from being the Celtic manager to being the City or the Man U or Liverpool manager. I think in terms of that league, Spurs is probably the biggest team that's going to take you, in my opinion anyway. So I can see that point of view as well. But I don't know. My honest opinion is I really don't know. It changes. You could ask me 10 minutes for noon, I'd say I'd be certain he's staying. And then you could ask me tomorrow and I'd be convinced he's gone. So I really don't know. But I think you'll find it a lot post-match. But my full focus on the game. I'm just trying to get out my head. Enjoy tomorrow, hopefully. With everybody else, enjoy the celebrations. Tony said it in the chat earlier on. I'm not having Celtic ruin another treble for me. Look, they done when they appointed some guy in the showers, but I don't know is my honest answer.
No, I think that's fair. As you say, it's sort of been a week of conflicting sort of emotions and reports. There's even been some sort of counter speculation from a few of the Scottish papers saying that Celtic are going to offer him a mega deal in sort of response to it. But Danny, what's your thoughts on it? As Andy says, our group chat sort of been all over the place. We've sort of had the hand hovering over that emergency podcast button that we thought might have to happen this week. Maybe it won't be needed. Maybe we'll get full clarity after the Mora, and I think everybody hopes to keep Ange and see him have another go at Champions League and Europe in general and just sort of continue playing great football. But I think, is this sort of the price we pay for not only having ambitious players, but having an ambitious manager as well, that it's not only players that the big clubs are going to come looking for now, they're going to, it's almost impossible to ignore what Ange's done in the 2 years he's been here.
That's exactly it. You've said it right there. I mean, since he came in, he didn't get the greatest reception coming in. I think we all need to be honest with ourselves, we weren't exactly delighted that he was announced as a manager. And having said that, it didn't take him long to win his hour. You know, we were all on side pretty much straight away. But for 2 years, Celtic fans have been bigging up everything he's done. So it's only natural that somebody listens. It's the whole... I mean, yesterday it was done. And then the day... Oh, he's going for more talks. I don't get it. I mean, the way he's speaking is not as if he's got to leave, which is worrying me because there's no smoke without fire, of course. And I'm like, why just like he's not the type to come out and say it before a game. He's Everton's about focusing on the players and that. But I just thought with how strong the rumours were, how wild it was getting, that maybe he would have come out and said one way or another yesterday. But of course, not his style. But he's done a great job for us. He came in when we were a mess, and folk are, you know, dismissing it, saying Spurs are a basket case and that one. Look where he came in at Celtic. I mean, it's not much better. And he's you know, not only mended us because we were a bit of a broken club, but he's built it from scratch himself. And it's a tough one because you do feel like we're right at the start of something. I mean, the Champions League, the results were poor. Performances were really promising, and you think maybe with that experience next year, we'll maybe take a scalp or two, or maybe we'll be that surprise package that gets into the next round, or maybe goes out in third place and goes in a run in Europa League, because other teams have shown that, you know, if you get a good draw and your team play well, you can do well in Europa League. So there's no reason we can't under Ange, the way that we've played, and the way he talks about the Champions League and the experience and stuff, you think he's up for it again. But it's hard for him to knock back a job like Spurs. I mean, it's such a big job these days, the Spurs job in World Cup, and they've got a new shit at the stadium, cost about £1 billion to make, build. Right, they're not in Europe next season, but they've got players that, I mean, we were laughing about it in the chat the other day, but I mean, Yuki have Son and Kane at Celtic, and he probably wins that Champions League group this season with the way that we played in the games and the chances that we created. So it's better players, it's a better league. It's obviously got to be more money for him as well. And he is ambitious. I mean, it's not as if he left. He didn't leave Yokohama after winning a treble. You know what I mean? He left them when they were like 8th from the league or something like that. So it's not as if he's averse to leaving mid-season or anything like that. You know, he seems to have went out the right way, if there is a right way to leave. But who knows? I mean, I'm convinced he's away, and then I'm convinced he's staying. Like last night, I think me and you were the same, Dan. We both woke up this morning thinking he was going to stay, and then Fabrizio Romano tweeted that he was going for more talks. You just want clarity in these things, because the longer these things go on, the more drawn out they become, and actually, if he was to go, the less time we've got to replace him, which is a bonus that we're straight into the Champions League. It's not as if you're scrambling around looking for somebody to come in and take the team in qualifiers. But I'll be really sad if he has to go. I've been thinking about this all week. I think he's a brilliant manager. I think he's a really good guy as well. I don't think he's... Don't get shit on us or anything like that, but it's one of the what-ifs, because I just think there's so much potential there. I think he is. I know we talk about people like Rodgers and that and unfinished business and whatever, but Ange really would have unfinished business. Even though he's won 5 out of 6 trophies, he really would have unfinished business if he was to leave after tomorrow.
No, I agree with you. I think a lot of people have been speaking about how he's been speaking about quoting Tommy Burns, and then I think on the open goal thing he was speaking about Tommy Burns as well, and everything he said in the 2 year about sort of, like, I remember his sort of speech after the Rangers game last February, when he spoke about just people coming in with problems and sort of giving them something to forget their problems, and like just sort of, I think it'll be like, I know people are sort of, I think they'll misinterpret it if he does go next week or whatever, that they'll say quoting Tommy Burns and saying he's invested in us. I think Danny's right. I think he's just a brilliant guy, and he can be a brilliant guy and be ambitious as well. He's no far away from becoming 60, and he'll know to himself. I think we spoke about it previously on the pod and in our group chat, but when he spoke with Josip Juranovic leaving Celtic, he spoke about how he got to the sort of higher level later in his career, I think, although Ange's managed at World Cups and whatnot, and the biggest events in Asia, like, he's probably got to Europe a wee bit later than he would have wanted to, and he'll know that these opportunities won't keep coming around, and it might just be a case of, like, I think Andy's got it spot on. I think Spurs are probably the biggest club in England that would come direct to Celtic for a manager. I think, I know they didn't qualify for Europe this year, but traditionally they're sort of that part of, like, for the last 15 years or so, they've been like the traditional top six in England. And as was mentioned, new stadium, plenty of money to spend, and it'll be interesting to see. I think we'll know pretty soon after the full-time whistle. I think the reason I sort of lean towards, I think he might go, it's just because I think Danny says that with the weight of sort of these rumours, I think if there was absolutely nothing in it, he would have just come out and says, look, I've not spoke to Spurs and neither of any of my people. And if you would have put a gun in my head, I would probably say, I don't think Ange's probably spoke to Spurs, but I wouldn't be surprised if his agents or whoever advises him is maybe been aware of it, and Ange's just sort of putting it to the side until the season's done. Part of me thinks it would be a shame, because I think Danny's right, he's been absolutely brilliant at us, and if he was gone, it would be great that he did leave on good terms. Like, a lot of people say that if Rodgers had just left at the end of the season, he'd have got a hero's sort of goodbye, but I think this will sort of prove that that wouldn't have been the case, and I think if Ange does go, then you're going to... People shouldn't be as bitter as Rodgers, because he obviously left us in February during the hectic time of the season for Celtic and tried to gut the club at the same time, whereas Ange has just been, he's fully focused on completing the season with us and hopefully leading us to a treble. So it will be interesting to see. Like, I'm sure, like, we hear anything for the club, I know sometimes we get snippets from him, we've been absolutely nothing in terms of yes or no, so I'm sure if we get any sort of indication, you'll see it on our social medias, so make sure you're following us to hear the latest. But I will probably be back next week in terms of either doing a season review and sort of maybe in our season awards like we done last season, or we might have to do that emergency pod if it is announced that we're in search of a new manager, or hopefully, well, then an emergency pod to celebrate, possibly and sign a new contract, you never know. But I'll get any predictions. Tony has, he's not been able to get on the call, but he has messages saying that it'll be 6-0 to Celtic tomorrow. But he also says that Ange will wave the fans goodbye. So probably for the best that he's not on, it'd probably just depress people if he was on delivering that message. Andy, I'll take your prediction for tomorrow, Scott.
I'm going to go for 4. I think we'll score 1 in the first half. It'll be still fairly edgy, and then we'll just run away in the second half as the game opens up a wee bit more and they have to come out. Try go 4-0. And I also think Kyogo will start. But I can't get an answer prediction. As I say, I've changed my mind about 4 times since I stopped speaking before.
Tell me where you're thinking about it now, because Tony's gave his prediction and I think it'll conclude either way.
Right now, I think he's off.
Right, okay. Danny, I'll ask you the same. I'll take a score prediction, and if Ange will still be Celtic manager by the next time we record.
Score prediction, I think it will be 5 or 6. I think we'll score 2 early on, and it's kind of a case of it's Celtic 1 after that. I think we'll be too sharp for them. The team that played on Saturday was right up for it for the first whistle, and if we get that early goal, I think we'll get another soon after. And then it'll just be a case of whatever Celtic fancy. Of course, no disrespect to them, they'll still be right up for it, but we are a league apart, pardon the pun. An Ange prediction. My heart says he'll stay, my head says he's away. And I think once he gets the sight, he's human like the rest is. And once he gets sight of it, the wages and what he's got to play with, and moving to London and that, I think he'll take it, unfortunately.
I think we might give Avilés a right doing. I know they've not played a month, and as you say, they're literally a league away from us, and I think we showed last week that was 5 we took off of the team that's finished third in the top league, so I think that if we are sort of up for it and keep keep that sort of relentless streak that we've got about us, I think that it could be a really long day for Inverness. And do you know what? I think it might be one of the great days for Celtic. I think we might win something daft, like 6 or 7 nil. I just think, I don't mean to be disrespectful to Inverness, but I just think we're so far away the best team in the country, and it's bad enough for a Premiership team to try to cope with. I think it's got to be a step too far for the these Championship mid-table team that we're coming up against tomorrow. And in terms of Ange, it's tough. As I say, I think if there was nothing in it, then I think it would have been sort of swatted aside. Don't know. It's tough. I'm like Danny. I think his head says one thing, heart says the other. And I think if Spurs do make the approach and offer him, it'll be very, very difficult for him to knock it back. And do you know what? He's done a great job at Celtic, and I think he probably really does fancy another crack at Champions League with us, but I think this opportunity would just be too big for him to pass up. And for that reason, I think he might go as well. Just I think how ambitious that he's been with us is no sort of just with us. He wants to be ambitious where wherever he goes and whatever he does in football. So I think that opportunity would just be a bit too big to pass by. And I think we might be looking for a new manager in the next few days to, I don't know, maybe a week if we hear nothing. God knows where what we'll be talking about next week, because picture of hopefully, well, you never know, Brendan might do us a favour and get that Spurs job and we can all relax for a few weeks before next season. But as I said, keep an eye out on our social media. I'm hoping that we'll all be partying tomorrow after we hopefully win another trophy that leads to the treble. So you get plenty of drunk tweets, mainly for Tony, I'm sure. But as we sort of get any Saturday, Sunday, Monday, if we hear more, as we say, we'll put it on our social media. We don't hide it in for our listeners and followers. If we hear anything legitimate that we think's worth passing on, we will put it on there. So make sure to follow us on Twitter, just search for Pod Tims, and everywhere else just search for Tims the Podcast. Anyway, I know this has been out late, so thanks very much for taking the time to listen, and hopefully you enjoy Celtic winning the Scottish Cup tomorrow. We'll be back at some point next week. Cheers.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.